Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you. How are you, man?
I am doing great. Excited to get this week started.
Hey, this is
on Tuesday.
It's going to be a fantastic segment. It's already Wednesday, and it's our first really piece of work together, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive work ethic we have. Huh?
It's going to be a fantastic segment. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast from SPI, Mr. Steve Youngblood and Ray Goodman. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Steve. If we could, before we get really far into this, can you share a little bit about SPI? What are you guys doing for folks?
So SPI has been around since the early 90s, and the company is really focused on outsourcing services, particularly IT outsourcing services to the retail industry. Mm-hmm. Some of our customers are names you know well, Macy's, Saks, Snap-on Tools, Groupon. So there's some Microsoft even. So we've got customers that are in the retail space, but as of recent, we've moved more into the digital space and are doing work for some non-retailers. But again, our focus really is retail. Outsourcing. However, Ray and I are on the product side where we do create products specifically for the retailers.
And then can you share just kind of how is retail defined nowadays?
It's all over the place. Retail's everything from brick and mortar operations.
Because that's what it used to be, right? Like when people would talk about retail, they would imagine a store, a physical location somewhere.
Exactly. Just like here in Atlanta, when you go to Macy's or Nordstrom or even smaller stores, we refer to that as brick and mortar operation. Mm-hmm. There's also a catalog operation, which is still growing quite heavily. And it's not the old Sears book you used to get or the JCPenney book, which we all used to wait for Christmas, right? it's really, really custom catalogs. It's Lands End and L.L. Bean, but that's really moved now to Tommy Bahama catalogs and Soft Surroundings catalogs you might get at home. But then there's online. And online, brick and mortar companies participated in it. Catalog companies participate in online selling. People will syndicate their sales through Amazon and other, multi-vendor retailers such as that. Mm-hmm. And so it's today we refer to that as omnichannel. And retailers have to be concerned about where they're selling, but we as software providers have to make sure we help their buyers figure out where to get the goods to sell through those channels.
And then what is your pain that you're solving for your clients?
How to get the right products for the right groups of people so that they can sell through the right channels at the right time and have as little inventory at the end as possible so that they don't have to mark things down and maximize their margins and sales.
So then in your world, it doesn't matter if they have brick or mortar or if they're online because that pain is the same.
Universal.
Right? That's exactly right. The pain's universal. And things are changing around the world now. We know that, I don't know if you've ever purchased a Mac product and it seems to get there in 2 days and then you check and see, oh my gosh, they manufactured in China. It went through Alaska and now it's here at my doorsteps in Atlanta, Georgia. So the ability to reach to customers, them to reach to a site and buy something and then to fulfill doesn't take very long. So the retailers have to really think, where can I sell in a brick and mortar operation? Where can I sell through a catalog? Or where can I sell online to reach people when they want to buy something? And it's always not so easy nowadays.
But we got the brains of the outfit, at least on this side of things, with us in the studio today, right? Who'd you bring with you?
Well, I brought with me Ray Goodman. Ray was with a company called DirecTech. And DirecTech was the leader in retail planning software for 20 years. And SPI was fortunate enough to be able to buy DirecTech. And Ray came in and essentially leads all product management and product ownership activities for what we now call SPI Buyer Direct. And it's a phenomenal product. We just got back from our user conference, and to see the names of the buyers of that product in the room, you kind of go, oh my gosh, I've bought from them. But it's even more so when you hear Ray talk to them and talk about the problems they have and the problems that our software solves for them. So he's a leader in this world.
So welcome, Ray.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So now, when you were with DirecTech, what was that like going from having your own business now being kind of acquired by another company? How was that transition for you emotionally? I'm your therapist.
Well, it was a big change. I went from basically helping to run the entire organization to now having a smaller slice at SPI. But, you know, overall, from managing the product, I'm doing a lot of the same job as I did before. So it's really key for us that we look and listen to our customers out there and to the industry to see what's going on so that we can make sure that we're making the right changes to our software going forward and we can help them in the omni-channel environment today.
Well, and you weren't at this user conference standing on a soapbox with a megaphone telling everybody how great and wonderful you are. You were getting information from customers and potential customers. You were listening to the challenges, having them express those, share with them what you thought you knew, and probably getting a lot of information for ongoing development, I would think.
Yeah, exactly. We spent one of the key sessions that we had there was really talking about how do we integrate and manage store inventory for brick and mortar with e-commerce and catalog, because they're fulfilled two different ways. We have to take into account, you know, how things are labeled for one. So if you have it in a store, you know, you might get a pair of slacks and they're hung on a hanger. If you get it through catalog, it's wrapped in a plastic wrap. So, you know, it's not easy for our customers to say, hey, I'm just going to buy that pair of slacks from the vendor. They have to figure out, okay, where am I going to sell it? And then they want to have it packaged in such a way so it's going to arrive ready for whatever location they're selling it through get it out the door as quick as possible. So they don't want to get everything in that's wrapped in plastic, so they have to unwrap it and hang it up. That takes a lot of time. So it's a lot of those types of things that we're dealing with, especially, you know, when we're talking, you know, the companies that are large brick and mortar and, you know, they're doing a lot of e-commerce as well, you know, up to 20 or 30% e-commerce.
Is that the trend that's happening, that it's more and more e-commerce?
Yeah, we're seeing the e-commerce is growing quite a bit. And the companies that are working out there and making a lot of progress, the brick-and-mortar companies, you see them doing things like building more in the digital environment. So they might have apps. So if you go into Macy's now, you'll have a Macy's app that you can bring up. And it will notify you when you're in certain parts of the store and what deals they have, that kind of stuff to try to sell. So, you know, you have that part that's still tied to the stores, and then you have their online experience. So if you can't find what you want in the store, you can order it right there, and then they'll deliver it to you or they'll deliver it to store. So that's all part of the omnichannel, right, that we're dealing with. And we have customers at a company just right down here in southern Georgia, Bud K. They sell like custom hunting knives and things like that, swords, that kind of stuff. And they do a lot of fulfillment by Amazon. So if they're going to sell on Amazon, they have to know where Amazon needs the inventory at when Amazon wants to sell it, because what they don't want to do is have it in the wrong place. And then they have to ship it clear across the country, or at least Amazon doesn't want to do that. And they have to have it there, plus anything they might be shipping out of their local warehouse.
Now, you mentioned that from retail to e-commerce in that direction has its challenges. Are you seeing some e-commerce going to brick and mortar?
Yeah, we have quite a few customer clients that are actually building out their brick and mortar. Ballard Designs, for example, is here in Atlanta. And they do a lot of high-end furniture and things like that. And they are starting to push out more and more into retail, or into brick and mortar, I should say. And they've been primarily a catalog company for a long time. So now they're turning to us and saying, hey, you know what? We really like your solution that we've been using for our online and for our catalog business. But now we need something to really help us in the brick and mortar space more. So how can we tie everything together so that I'm working in one system? I don't have to have something from one vendor and from another vendor and have them tied together. So they want something that's tightly integrated, something that makes sense to them. And that's what we're aiming to provide.
Are they starting to put more and more focus on trying to figure out what's going to happen in the future? Are they like more data driven and they try to decide what they can and should be doing, I don't know, 6 months out? Is that more of a trend too?
Yeah, it's actually both. I mean, so the answer is yes. But what they're trying to do is, on the short term, they want to take a look at what our current trends are, you know, out there. You know, whether I'm selling furniture, if I'm selling, you know, fashion items, or if I'm selling hard goods. You know, hard good being, you know, pens,
suitcases,
you know, things, suitcases, things like that. They still have to look and see what the trends are out there, and they're trying to follow those. So when they go and start planning what they're going to be offering, they have their vision for what they want their storefront to look like, and whether that's a virtual storefront on the web or if it's a physical storefront in a brick-and-mortar environment, they'll take a look and say, okay, here's the type of items I want to sell. Here's what my identity is for my particular brand. And then they'll start layering in their products. Now, they might have a longer-term view as where they want to go from, you know, am I going to open more stores? What am I going to do from the website? But it's really looking out maybe a year to say what products are going to be hot, what do I want to offer, and then how can you help me make sure I'm getting them in on time, and if I have to reorder them, making sure that I get those in on time as well.
Can they get granular, or can you help them get really granular to the point where they know, you know, middle-aged guys like me are really starting to think about buying this kind of stuff in late October? I mean, can you get that kind of data and organize it and look at it?
Yeah, we don't do a lot in that area right now, but we are, that's the area we call predictive analytics. And we're starting to move more and more into that because our customers are requiring it. So we do have another product within our organization that's called SpyIQ, and it's a data analytics tool. So they can go in, they can mine that data, and they can look at it. You know, we do a lot of work with a lot of consumer product group companies, the CPGs, that work with Walmart, for example. So we help them plan what they need to get to their Walmart stores so that they can have the inventory there when they need it. So they get down to that level. They want to know about the customer. They want to know who I'm supplying things to, you know. So that's very important for
us. In some of their cases, they not only want to know what products they have to have, at which area of the country, for which Walmart stores, but where on the shelf should which product sit.
Right.
You know, so they really get granular.
Well, if it's too high on the shelf, I'll never see it.
Right. Well, you know, I always point to like the wall of jeans, right? So, you know, every store has a wall of jeans, or if you go to Walmart, Target, whatever. And when you go in there, you know, you can see all the different slots where things are slotted, and they always have the really short inseams at the very top, right? Because that way, because I think the shorter guys are better at climbing, you know, so that they can get that. And then the really long inseams are down at the floor, because I guess really tall guys like to get on their hands and knees.
So that sounds counterintuitive, but they figured it out, right?
And it works.
They're doing that eyes wide open. That's a conscious set of decisions.
Aspirational placement.
Exactly. That's right.
So now SPI's value to the retailer is the logistics and helping them manage their inventory the most efficient manner?
Well, with our software, as Ray was mentioning, our software will help their buyers and their planners you know, coordinate their financial plans, their merchandising plans, their assortment of items that they buy, and then allocation of those items. We even provide capabilities to purchase to help their purchasing systems make the most appropriate.
So anything in the back end?
Anything on the back end. But even with that, our the other side of SPY, the outsourcing side, does help many of these large retailers work on some of the front side of things with products. We have a lot of software developers. We have a huge operation in India. So we do have software developers here in the U.S. Ray mentioned our work with the consumer packaged goods companies out in Arkansas, particularly with Walmart. But we also have developers in Mysore, India. And that really gives us lots of people that can help us help the retailers run fast. And boy, nowadays, if you look at what Apple's done with their experiential capabilities and the logistics at Apple, everybody has to compete at that level now.
Right.
And so a lot of what our tools and our people and our outsourcing help those retailers do is run faster. And that's exactly what Ray's product, Direct Tech, is helping the catalog.
Buyer Direct.
See, we already forget that we've changed our naming convention. But it's really exciting. You would think retail has it's been around for a long time.
Right.
But the retailer we're in today is quite new and fast. And it's much more entrepreneurial now. We're running around now talking about all the things that the cool kids are talking about. in the retail space. Everything from beacons in the stores so that when you go through with your mobile app at a GameStop.
Right. You mentioned that the app can know that you're in this section so it can help you make an informed decision or let you become aware that there's a special or something that you might be interested in there.
So we're moving to the front end side of the store now. And so much so, that's why we purchased the largest mobile outsourcing company in the world. And a lot of developers in Romania, but as well here in the United States, so that we can more and more help retailers and other entities be on that front end, be able to put in beacons into stores and to capture people where they are and make recommendations for things they might want to buy right there. And we foresee in the future bringing together both that front end and the back end using the mobile experience to help us collect data real time so that we real time could be making recommendations to buyers. To buy things. Some things are automatically fulfilled. You have constant replenishment items.
Right.
For example, Levi's 501 jeans, they don't go out of style.
Right.
But but many other things do. And the products that we sell will help people understand not only what they should buy for a season, but perhaps how those packages ought to be. Ray mentioned things coming in packs. Sometimes retailers buy pieces to bring in for replenishment. Other times they're buying packs, i.e. should I buy these shirts in small, medium, and two extra larges, or maybe medium and three extra larges, or whatever the appropriate buy
might
be.
Or maybe blue is not in now, it's now green, and you can help them make that move.
Exactly. And we're able to help them take a look and say, okay, if you're offering green this year, and we offered blue last year, let's take a look and see how the greens are going to, if green is the new blue, we'll help you predict how that's going to behave. And, you know, that's key when you're trying to keep the inventory in and keeping your stocking levels where you need to be to have the inventory in the warehouse or in the store when the customer wants it. You know, in retail, you have the people don't do back orders, right? If you're in the retail stores, because you'll walk in if it's not on the shelf or it's not on the rack. People won't buy it. They won't even think that you might have it someplace else. It's a little bit different in the online environment and also in the catalog, whereas if you have it in the catalog, they're automatically assuming that you have it in stock in your warehouse. So we have to be able to maintain enough inventory at either of those locations, either in the warehouse where they're shipping out of or in the retail store locations, to make sure that the proper product is there when the customer wants it.
Now, can you talk a little bit about some of the trends? Is brick and mortar, is that something that's still thriving in today's world? Or is it everybody's online or the majority of the people are online or they're going to brick and mortar just to kind of shop and then they buy online? Like, can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, we're seeing a lot more specialty type stores, right? So for the specialty stores, you can have more brick and mortar on there because I can focus on what I'm offering. I know people aren't going to go shopping someplace else, and they're not going to go online and find that product someplace else. I'm going to have it all. I have both of those because it's branded merchandise. It's merchandise I created that I can sell. So the specialty areas are the ones that are really growing in both places. Some of the mass marketing or mass merchandising stores, you know, like your Walmarts and your Searses and, you know, things like that, JCPenney's, you know, they tend to, theirs is kind of vacillating and some of them are having some difficulties. Walmart's not having as much difficulties as other places because they're really beefing up their online experience because they want to be able to sell as much online as Amazon does. So Walmart's actually going head to head with, they bought Jet.
That's right.
Right. So, that was a competitor of Amazon.
Exactly. Well, so, you know,
I think they're even a pre-revenue competitor of Amazon. I don't even know that they bought it for, what, $1 billion with almost no revenue. So that's how serious Walmart was about moving fast.
Yeah, I need to sell a company like that.
But like companies you mentioned that are struggling, like sports authorities, that they just, there were several hundred of them and now they all.
Yeah, they got bought by Dick's Sporting Goods. So, yeah, so you're seeing some consolidation out there and, you know, some main players, but I think the big box stores are still around and they're still going to thrive. They're just going to try change how they're approaching their customers. They're going to try to incentivize them to get into the store locations by doing things like free shipping to stores. You know, if you buy online, so we can get you in the store so you can do those impulse buys. did I need to have two lacrosse sticks? No, but if I go into Dick's, I might pick up an extra one, right?
Right.
So those are the types of things that they're really trying to do, is to drive the foot traffic into the store, let you come in there and look, and I can get it immediately.
But it's like Steve mentioned earlier, it's Apple raised the bar in terms of experience. The store has to be an experience that I'm going in there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And something special is going to, could possibly happen there, right?
Right.
And not just, I'm here just to do a transaction.
That's exactly right. You need to have everything that, the consumer might want there, and have to have something special. If you look at, I mentioned Dick's Sporting Goods again, they have a climbing wall in all their stores.
Right. And there's a level of expertise, hopefully, in their salespeople that
exactly.
are helping educate me and move me to the thing that's going to be the right thing for me, which I'm not always going to get in an online experience.
Right. And I mentioned Ballard Designs earlier as one of our customers here. They have designers in their stores that if you go in there to buy furniture and those types of things there, they're going to actually help you select your fabrics and give you an eye towards that, that purchase that you're doing. So it's going to look best in your house. So
and
that's key.
PGA Superstores, which are based here in Atlanta,
right.
owned by Arthur Blank. They have every, golf lane you could imagine for specific brands, and have people that will help you test the golf clubs, talk about how you could order them special with the right length of shaft and the right grips. So again, more people are looking for that type of thing before they buy. And of course they do want to capture them while they're there. Hey, you might need shirts and some extra
right.
shoes, but there's also an experience there.
So Ray, I'll concede that you're probably the youngest or one of the youngest people in the room at the moment. And it strikes me that this kind of thing wasn't a career when you were coming through school, was it? What's your backstory? Could you really be in this right from the beginning?
Well, I've been in it for almost 30 years now. I started out in the banking industry. And was in charge of some software at a banking company at one time where we sold product to the banking industry. So coming from there then, I started moving into telemarketing. I was in Omaha, and there was a lot of telemarketers there. And so that actually dovetailed into the online. The telemarketers are always out there selling, and especially, 25 years ago, they were much more aggressive than they were today. Legally they could be then, today, maybe not so much, but yeah, growing up through that and seeing how people, are selling different items. I worked with Boys Town. You might've heard of them. They're a charity in Omaha, Nebraska. And we did a lot of, sales of what we called good feelings. We were asking for donations. So we sold good feelings. And so when you start doing those types of things, it gives you a real appreciation for the entire marketplace out there and what you can do.
Now, if you had any advice for a retailer that maybe isn't familiar with SPI, what is the pain they're having and how can SPI help them?
Yeah, if you're having difficulty doing assortment plans and figuring out your colors and sizes, what you need to offer, those types of things, we can help you out there. If you're having difficulty maintaining your inventory levels in your stores or in your warehouses or your distribution centers, we can help you out there. We take those plans. We help you figure out what you're going to sell, how much you need of it, and when you're going to sell it, and then make sure that you have it in stock at the right place at the right time.
That would have to have a huge impact on the bottom line. I'm trying to envision you and I, Lee, running a retail establishment where those decisions are critical, because you get it right or wrong in either direction, that could make or break you, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But the nice thing about it is our software also gives you the levers. So that once I'm in season, the funny thing about customers is they never behave like you believe they will, right? So I think that we talked about green being the new blue, right?
Right.
Well, it might turn out that maybe, red is the new blue instead. Mm-hmm. But the earlier I can detect that trend, then I can start marketing the green a little bit differently, right? And I can offer incentives for it. I can put it on the landing page with the green item out there rather than the red one. And that should drive more sales to the green. So I can still manage my inventory and the buyer's expectations by having those in prominent places. And you can drive that.
It's interesting. For some brands, for some retailers, the whole thought of having to mark down things is a terrible thing,
right?
Right, because it hurts their status out here in the world, and so we want to make sure that they sell as many of their items as they can at what they expect. Now, some companies thrive on discounting, in which case that's a different model. But we do try to help people meet their model. And if they don't want to put things down on markdown, our software can help them monitor what's selling, what's not, what, as Ray mentioned, what needs to be moved up on the front page so that they can assure that and margins are low in retail.
Right. You can't afford a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, we consumers demand it.
Right.
But those retailers have become pro using software like ours.
And your stuff's working in the back, you know, kind of behind the scenes, right? They still have their website, and their websites, they're controlling that.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Now, is there something like, say that I go on somebody's website and I'm looking at red things. Can your software help show red things like as I move down the road? You know, like the next time I show up there, is there like a red?
Yeah, that's really more on the front end, the sales side on the web. And we do have a division of SPI that helps you build your websites as well. And it would have all that kind of intelligence built into it. The specific products that Steve and I are in charge of don't really help you with that. That's more the point of sale facing.
But there's an SPI solution for that.
Absolutely.
And they all play real nicely together. How does the whole sales and marketing thing work for you guys? Is the phone ringing? Are you out doing trade shows? Or how do you get to have these kind of conversations with the people who ought to be taking a serious look at your products and services?
Yeah, we do a lot of trade shows to drum up interest, but we also have, you know, Steve mentioned our conference that we just got done with last week. And that builds up a lot of confidence, a lot of buzz with our customers. They really enjoy it. It's, we just had it in Las Vegas. And even though people had a chance to have some fun, it was really a working conference. And we were able to bring in, you know, leaders to help them, help incentivize them, and also teach them about our products more. And so then they go out, and it's a really incestuous type business. So, you know, the more reach we get, even within our own customer base, the broader pull we have throughout the industry.
User conference? That's what you're talking about?
That's right. We also go to the National Retail Federation Conference, which is the big retail conference here in North America, in New York every January.
Right.
And we have a big booth. It's for both the larger portion of our company as well as our product division. So we attend there. But we have customers in South Africa, in Australia, in
right,
the UK.
Right, it's international.
We're everywhere. That's right.
Right.
And it's amazing how word of mouth has helped us grow.
Yeah, doing good work is a good sales tool.
That's right. Yes. That's right. But we also do have
doing bad work tends to have opposite effect.
We do have an experienced sales team that knows retail. Mm-hmm. Many of them have worked with Ray in the past, so they have that domain expertise and can talk those difficult concepts. It's amazing when I go back and work with Ray and some of our other product owners. The mathematics that go into the algorithms to recommend the assortments of buys, it's some pretty heavy math. And so it's interesting to work now we're in a modern environment. We're on the web. We have mobile apps. We're moving in these directions, helping people get online as well, work through all these channels, applying difficult math. So it's a lot of fun too, to hang out with a bunch of nerds.
yeah, we're geeks at heart.
And what is the profile of kind of that perfect customer for you? Are they the larger retailers?
Actually, our kind of bread and butter for the catalog industry, catalog and e-commerce, is probably more in the middle tier. We do have some very large ones. We have some online retailers that are close to $1 billion. Oriental Trading Company, for example, in Omaha, they're one of our customers, and you know they sell, I don't know, 10 million spider rings. And
we're one of their best customers. My wife buys something for every party, every little thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, those kinds of customers really help drive us. But we also have smaller customers. You know, I mentioned Bud K, and they're much on the smaller end of that. So
that's a Georgia company.
That's
too.
A Georgia company. Then you have companies like Cinmar, which has Ballard Designs, Front Gate, Grandin Road. you know, some of those brands you might be familiar with. They also have Garnet Hill. So they're much larger as well, and multiple brands that they have within their organizations.
Then there's up and coming ones like Soft Surroundings, which is just opened in Avalon. Mm-hmm. There is a Foot Shop in the UK. There was another shoe oriented one here in Atlanta.
Right.
So we it's all over the place. And some of the brands you don't realize you know until you go home and go, oh my gosh, we have their catalog sitting right on the table.
Yeah, we also have some brick and mortar, some pretty large brick and mortars like Zumiez. You might see them. They're here in, I think, three or four of our malls here in Atlanta, do skateboarding type gear and that whole environment. I actually walked into their store. If you looked at me, you can say he's not a skateboard guy. But I walk in and I look in and I try to see what kind of merchandise they have. What are they selling? What are the trends that they have so that I can take that back and say, in our software, here's what we need to do to be able to support them. You know, we have to think about skateboards, not just, you know, clothing, right?
Yeah.
So it's completely different.
And fashion merchandise is a lot different than, say, hard goods.
Right.
But customers like Nautica, not only do they have their own stores, but if you go into a Macy's.
Right, they'll have a department within it.
That is actually a store within a store, and they treat it, Nautica treats it as a separate store. And so we're helping them plan how they stock their store within the store.
Right.
So it's pretty interesting. And there's other, Lord & Taylor, Saks Fifth Avenue here at Phipps Mall.
Hudson Bay
up in Canada. So some pretty amazing customers that are really helping us drive. But retail's growing. It is growing, and it's amazing on Ray's side is where we're seeing, as he mentioned, in that medium-sized area, we're seeing huge growth, I think because people have alternatives now on the logistics side with Amazon, for example. Right.
Now, are you involved in any of those kind of subscription box businesses?
I don't think we have any of those right now. That's a whole different way to look at some of it. And those are what we're looking at to try to say, okay, do you want to get into this area? Is that a marketable area for us? And how can we help them plan for that? So, you know, for the subscription box businesses, they know that they're planning out 6 months ahead at least, or longer if they're buying from, you know, offshore. So they'll be planning on what they're going to be putting in those boxes, just like you would be planning a catalog. So I think we can probably help them out as well as help them identify what items they might have a little bit of overstock on so that they can then repackage those and put those in those boxes going forward.
Like the bark box, you know, what type of a toy will the dogs want 6 months from now? Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Well, if somebody wanted to learn more, is there a website?
There is, www.spi.com. And you can find out not only about SPI, the larger company with the outsourcing retail capabilities, but as well SPI with the retail products that Ray and I work on.
So that's all there. I'm sure there's a lot of kind of case studies and information to educate a retailer.
There are. Yes. There are. You'll see links to case studies on Belk, on 1-800-Flowers, and some other interesting companies that we've worked with, including Genuine Parts here in Atlanta.
Well, gentlemen, thank you both for joining us this afternoon. This has been very informative, and I'm delighted to learn, although I'm not surprised that retail is really thriving, and you guys are a big reason for it, it sounds like.
Everybody go out and buy. Everybody go out and buy. It's a good thing.
That is today's mantra. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our producer Ryan Redhawk McPherson, our guests this afternoon, Steve Youngblood and Ray Goodman, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you in the fast lane.